Charles Rogers is no longer with us. He was a star wide receiver at Saginaw High School and Michigan State. That propelled him to eventually becoming the number two overall pick in the 2003 NFL draft. But as has been well documented, Charles had a lot of demons away from the gridiron. And Cody Tucker, formerly of the Lansing State Journal, he is now the founder and publisher of 7220 Sports. He did fantastic work when he was with the LSJ. Really enjoyed reading all of the features and in-depth storytelling that Cody did while with the LSJ. And in April of 2017, Cody published a piece entitled Finding Charles Rogers. Compelling on so many different levels. Right now, let's welcome Cody Tucker to the show. Cody, what's up, my man?
Al, how are you, my friend? Good to talk to you.
Always good hearing from you, dude. And let's just dive right into this. And I want to start here, though, first, Cody, because, again, this was just 2 years ago where you published this piece with the Lansing State Journal. What was your reaction earlier this week when you read the breaking news that Charles Rogers had died at just the age of 38?
Well, Al, it was one of those deals where since I did that interview with him down in Florida, I've been kind of waiting for news. You know, it's one of those deals where you're either going to get that, you know, beautiful, sweet redemption story, and you're going to hear that Charles Rogers is on the up and up and things are great, or you're going to hear things like you hear on Monday. And just really sad. I didn't know how I'd feel about it. You know, Charles and I, our relationship, you know, was never the same after the story. It's always hard to read in black and white, you know, about your life. And that was hard for him. He was embarrassed about it. And, you know, he just, you know, he knew that was his truth, though. So I was just really sad, Al. You know, I'm 36 years old. I'm right there, same age range. And, you know, what makes it even more sad for me is Charles wasn't an evil guy, and he didn't have a mean bone in his body. And then back to the reporting, you know, the people of Saginaw loved him to death. They wanted him back, and they wanted him back in that community. And that's what hurt the most is I just feel like he never he was too ashamed to come back to Michigan, and that was too bad because this is where everybody loved him.
That is so true, Cody. And, you know, you mentioned how it was tough to him and, you know, to read his story and how your guys' relationship wasn't the same after that piece came out. Was he angry about it at all, or was he – What was specifically his reaction when he did read the piece that you put out?
No, he wasn't angry. He was just like, wow, man, you really, you know, paid attention to everything I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
Right.
It was one of those deals where I was just, you know, we were always on. It was never off the record stuff. We were always on, which is weird because, you know, you go off the record a lot with people. But this one was different. It was just on the record the whole time. And then the other thing that happened was, you know, after it came out, his mother read the piece, and his mother started, you know, things started getting crazy with that. And but the one good thing Charles told me was how many teammates and how many fans reached out to him that, you know, saying, hey, know that we love you and we're here for you, and you don't have to be, you don't have to hide, and you don't have to, you know, you can always reach out, and we're always going to be here. So there was some good parts to it, but, you know, it's really hard to read that stuff in black and white, and that's what he told me. You know, it's just, he said, it's all true, and, you know, it's right, but it's just, man, it's so much different when you see it in print.
And, Cody, can you take us through, myself and our listeners out there, how this piece came about? Because previously, before you put out, you know, Finding Charles Rogers, I mean, that title is very fitting. That headline is very fitting for that piece because we hadn't heard, you know, from Charles in a long, long time. How did you find him? How did you go about setting up the interview? And how many days did you spend with him? And what was it like?
Yeah, so when I first got to Michigan, Al, you know, I didn't know a lot about Michigan State sports, you know. But one of the things I did know was the names T.J. Duckett and Charles Rogers. And I remember watching them when I was a kid, and especially Rogers being just completely enamored with that guy. He was unbelievably good. And then I remember still to this day the feeling when he got drafted by the Lions, thinking, man, how lucky is that guy? He, you know, he just gets to play for his home state team, and, you know, wow, high school to college to pros, man, what a blessing, which obviously that didn't turn out to be a blessing at all. But I remember thinking those feelings. So when I first got to Lansing, I asked my boss, you know, hey, what's up with Charles Rogers? Anybody heard from him? And they said, if you find Charles Rogers, we'll send you wherever he is if he'll agree to an interview, because he hasn't talked to anybody in years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did an interview with T.J. Duckett, and a story on him when I first got there, and I happened to ask T.J. if he knew Charles and or if he still talked to Charles. And he said, yeah, he did. And it took a while, but we kind of got hooked up after a couple few months. And, you know, Charles was not committed at first. He did not want to do it necessarily, but then he just called me one day and said, you know, let's do it. And I said, all right, I'm coming down tomorrow, and flew down the next day. So I spent 3 days with Charles. Man, we met at a skeezy little pizza shop in a strip mall in Fort Myers, Florida. And to be honest with you, I didn't even recognize him at first because he was just, you know, he was real thin. And it was really a surreal experience, Al. It was three weird, weird days because, you know, you're sitting there thinking, this is the number two overall pick in the NFL draft. And then at other points, you're like, man, this guy is like has one step into homelessness at this point, and he's all alone down here. And it would go from a sad, humble guy to a mad, you know, everybody's against me guy. And it was a roller coaster, man. He was on a roller coaster. I was on a roller coaster. It was a really different experience.
And you do a brilliant job, Cody, of taking us through that roller coaster of emotions and kind of weaving in and out of the highs and lows of his story. Were there any, you know, when you look back, and I'm pretty sure throughout this week you've been kind of just reminiscing a bit on that time that you spent one-on-one alongside Charles. What kind of memories really stand out, vivid memories really stand out, that you can kind of give us some insight to, as it was, you know, being there and going through those 3 days? What really pops out to you, Cody?
Well, unfortunately, Al, I went there hoping to, you know, he told me he was on the up and up. So, I mean, other than that, I mean, why do you even agree to an interview, right?
Right.
And so, I go there to do that. And the sad part for me was there was just, you know, nothing, unfortunately, was on the up and up. It was one of those deals where I kept asking myself, why did this guy agree to this? And I don't know, man. The thing I'll remember most is something that the day the story came out, I got, I mean, I'm not kidding you, 500 messages, 500 texts, 500 calls, 500 every, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
And I didn't realize the magnitude of Charles Rogers. And I actually was on your show that day.
Yeah.
That was the first time, and my battery was completely toast by about 9 in the morning on my phone. But that's another thing that pissed Charles off is when I first got there, he showed me where he worked, and he showed me a bunch of pit bulls in cages and stuff, and kind of alluded to some things that these pit bulls were, you know, used for work. And, you know, he never did say dog fighting, but he all but said dog fighting. So that's something that really stuck out to me, because he's showing a reporter that, you know, literally 5 minutes after meeting him. And when I put that part in there, I think he got in trouble from his friends, for one. But also, that's what most of my phone calls were about. People freaking out about the animals, about the dogs, and how they needed help. So that's something that really stuck out to me was... It was crazy, and he just seemed so oblivious, you know, like, why would you show a reporter who you just met 5 minutes ago a bunch of pit bulls in cages? And that kind of shows maybe the state of mind he was in overall.
Right. That's very true, Cody. And you know what, you know, I don't think, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't believe any official word has come out concerning the details of his death. I know that TMZ, according to MLive, and you know, they got the source from his high school coaches that he had some liver problems and he needed a liver transplant. You haven't seen anything officially come out yet, have you?
Not official, no. But, you know, I guess it would make a little bit of sense when he claimed in the story that he got hooked on Vicodin really bad, and when he played the Lions, and Vicodin just absolutely kills your liver. And, you know, I know he was drinking quite a bit there at the end too. So, and you know, plus people just get liver disease, period. So, I don't know, man. I was just really sad to hear about all of it, and I haven't heard official word, but either way, the fact that he's gone and he was so young and he had such a great chance for, you know, that redemption story, kind of like we're seeing with Ryan Leaf, for instance.
Yeah.
That could have been Charles. And the way the people in Saginaw looked up to him, it would have been really nice to see him come home and mentor the youth of that troubled city and, you know, the way that, you know, Draymond does and Lamar Woodley does. And it's amazing to me still to hear those professional athletes talk about Charles. That is really cool. To hear how much he meant to them, even not let alone everybody else in the youth of that city.
So true. All right, Cody, before we get you out of here, again, we've been chatting with Cody Tucker, formerly of the Lansing State Journal, now founder and publisher of 7220 Sports. Before we let you go, Cody, as a player, I want to end on a positive note. As a player watching Charles Rogers, again, you not being from the Michigan area, but you knew two names, one being T.J. Duckett and the other being Charles Rogers. What was it like watching him play and do what he did here at Michigan State? Because he was truly a phenom, without a doubt.
Yeah, it was really unbelievable. When you work for a bigger newspaper like the Free Press and the Lansing State Journal, the beauty of that is they say, hey, Cody, we want you to do the story on Charles Rogers. You can have a month. That's rare. Usually to pay for your go, and you don't have a month to do anything.
Right.
So I was able to watch probably every Charles Rogers highlight under the sun, and I didn't even appreciate how I knew he was really good, but I was super young. I mean, I knew he was really good, but man, oh man, you watch, you know, like that catch against Notre Dame when he somehow got a foot in the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
I believe he caught one against Michigan in the corner of the end zone that you don't even know how he got a foot down, and then just the pure speed when he beat Notre Dame on the road, when he caught a little slant pass from Ryan Van Dyke, and he was just absolutely gone. And to talk to his former coaches, they told me he could have been an Olympic athlete. They told me he could have played in the NBA, and they told me he definitely should have and could have had a very long, successful NFL career the way an Andre Johnson did. So
wow.
You know, and that's what kind of is even more sad about this whole story, though, is I think Charles thought, without being the athlete, he didn't have the identity, and he, you know, just couldn't have came back to Michigan to be a regular dude, and that couldn't be further from the truth. I think everybody wanted that regular, sweet guy to come back and just, you know, get roots down again. And something I wrote in my story was that he came to the Ohio State game in 2017, homecoming, and D'Antonio and Ken Manning made him feel at home and said how much they missed him, and Charles broke down and saw his Biletnikoff encased in glass down there, you know, and it finally made him realize that he was loved and he wasn't forgotten. And the fact that guy ever thought he was forgotten is really sad.
Oh, man. Sad to say the least. Okay, well Cody, yep. We appreciate your time so much, man. And can you give us an update on what you've been up to, brother? We haven't had you on the show in a while. I know you're the founder and publisher of 7220 Sports. What's up, my man?
Yeah, I started my own kind of athletic deal, if you will, I guess, where I'm covering the Wyoming Cowboys back in my home state. I'm living in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I'm just covering the hell out of the Cowboys, man. I'm following them all over. I actually just got back from Boise State a couple days ago. We're getting ready to hit the road for Utah State this weekend, and it's been a lot of fun. I didn't miss a Wyoming game for 27 years growing up, so it's one of those deals. It's been my dream, even at Michigan State. I hate to say it now, but I'd be watching Wyoming games on my phone up in the press box. And, so it's different, you know. I can't be a fan anymore and all that stuff, but that's right. Fine. It's been a lot of fun. The challenging part, of course, is selling ads and stuff like that, because I want to make sure it's free for fans. And we're getting about 200 to 250,000 hits a month. So there's only 650,000 people in the whole state. So
wow,
for now. So things are going really well.
That is awesome stuff, and I'm not surprised at all, Cody. You are incredibly talented, my man, and we miss you here in the Lansing area. Keep up the great work, thank all right?
You. Thank you so much, Al. I appreciate you, man.
You got it. Cody Tucker, he's fantastic. And again, if you haven't read Finding Charles Rogers, we'll be sure that when we post the podcast edition of today's show, we'll include that link, okay? All right.